Our first scripture reading is found in your pew Bibles in the book of Amos. It's on page 982 in your pew Bibles. We read Amos chapter 8, beginning at verse 4. Hear this, you who trample on the needy and bring the poor of the land to an end, saying, when will the new moon be over that we may sell grain? And the Sabbath, that we may offer wheat for sale, that we may make the ephah small and the shekel great, and deal deceitfully with false balances, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and sell the chaff of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from 1 Timothy. It's found on page 1271. And we read 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings, and for all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I'm telling the truth, I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness, with good works. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Yet she will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, page 1119, and we read Luke 16, beginning at verse 1. Jesus also said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be my manager. And the manager said to himself, what shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses. So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, how much do you owe my master? He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, take your bill and sit down, write quickly 50. Then he said to another, how much do you owe? He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things, and they ridiculed him. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel lesson for today, and in particular, these words from Jesus. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. This is our text. But did Jesus really just say that? In particular, the last words, listen to them carefully. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. Or slightly paraphrased, use money to make friends. Does that sound like Jesus? Well, what are you supposed to do with your money? Or with all the things that God gives you in this life, be it possessions, be it time, be it the different gifts and talents that God gives to each of us, what are we to do with them? And to whom do they really belong? You know, this parable that we heard from Jesus today was about a master who had a bad manager who was wasting the master's possessions. There was a question of, if you will, ownership involved. If you're the master, you can do whatever you want with whatever you have. But if you're a manager, your job is to do with what's in your possession temporarily what the master wants you to do. And too often when it comes to looking at the things that we have in life, be it our time, our talents, or our treasures, we view them for the most part as being our own. Oh, we may give to charity, including our church. We may even give a goodly portion, like that tithe that was required of the people of the Old Testament, or 10%. But if we're good givers, then what we do with the rest of what we have, well, isn't that just whatever we want? Only if you view the rest of what's in your possession as your own. But that's not how God sees it. As this parable and many other parables and teachings of Scripture tell us, it is God who is the owner of everything. As we say in the first article of the Apostles' Creed, he gives us clothing, shoes, meat, drink, house, home, wife, children, fields, cattle, and all our goods. He daily and richly provides all that we need to support this body and life, but not to do with it what we want, but to serve him in his kingdom. Yes, sometimes we have real ownership issues when it comes to managing the things that God has placed in our possession. We behave as if we own most of it and God just a part. But not only did God create us, but when we had fallen into sin, he had to, if you will, buy us back. Yes, as we noted earlier, salvation is free, but it's not without cost. We pay nothing. But you are not your own, as St. Paul once said. Your body is not your own. You were bought with a price. The price of the only Son of God. And when we begin to live that way, as if God is truly, if you will, the owner of all that we have, we manage things differently. But a lot of people in our world today, and unfortunately sometimes it's people who are even active in church, have, if you will, poor management practices. If this next week, and hopefully you're not playing the lottery, but if you are, let's say you won it. By the way, how many of you would like to win $1 billion? Raise your hand. You think it would be great, right? You think a lot of problems could be solved by that. Money isn't everything, but it sure helps. But you know, one of the interesting facts about people who do win the lottery, you know how many are bankrupt in 5 years? 70%. Of big lottery winners lose it all within 5 years of, if you will, winning it all. There's a law firm in the state of Florida whose entire business is helping lottery winners manage bankruptcy. The problem we often have is not that we don't have enough, but it's really an understanding what we do with what we have. Are the things that God has given us, the time, the talents, and the treasures, were they given to us to serve us or to serve him and others? And as Jesus noted, you know, sometimes people of this world are more shrewd in understanding what to do with wealth than even the sons of light. What we have is given to us to serve others with. Yes, to take care of our earthly needs, but not just to satisfy our cravings. And when you begin to see life that way, things do change. I'm going to throw out some names to you, most of which you're probably going to recognize. J.C. Penney, J.L. Kraft. If you've ever had a macaroni and cheese, it was probably Kraft. Or a toasted cheese, probably Velveeta, made from Kraft. Maybe you were sick one time and had some mentholatum deep heating rubbed on your chest. That was A.A. Hyde. If you had ketchup on your fries lately, H.J. Hines. William Proctor of Procter & Gamble. M.S. Hershey of Hershey Chocolate Bars. William Wrigley of Wrigley's Gum. F.W. Woolworth. They're not around anymore, but how many of you remember Woolworths? Okay. Henry Crowell, founder of Quaker Oats. William Colgate, whose toothpaste brightens your smile. John D. Rockefeller of Rockefeller Oil. I'll bet you recognize most, if not all of that, those names. And I'll bet your house has probably a dozen products from the companies that these people founded. We think of them as really wealthy people. But you want to know something interesting about their background? First of all, none of them started out being wealthy. Not a single one. And every one of them was a Christian. And before they made their millions, when they were dirt poor, I believe it's Rockefeller who said, when I was only making $1.50 a week, 15 cents was going into the offering plate. When they virtually had nothing, what they did have, they used to serve others. Now, just because you're a good giver, that doesn't mean you're going to end up having $1 billion in your pocket. God never says it works exactly that way. But when you see the time and the talents and the treasures that you have as a means not of serving yourself, but of serving others, there are blessings that you do receive. One other interesting story. How many of you remember a guy by the name of the Galloping Gourmet? Some of you? His name was Graham Kerr. He had one of the first cooking shows on TV. And early in his life, he was making a lot of money. And running around and spending it like nobody's business. He had cars, he had homes, he vacationed lavishly. But the things he didn't have in life was a good relationship with his wife or his children. He had no friends. His life was, if you will, focused almost entirely on himself. And that's the way he used his money, all on himself. And then one day, he was, if you will, reintroduced to Jesus. Oh, he'd gone to church when he was little, but long ago had abandoned that kind of practice in his life. He had no use for religion. But when he found Christ, his life changed. It cost him a few things. His show went off the air because at the end of his program, he would flash up John 3:16. His sponsors abandoned him, and his show was canceled. Oh, he still had enough to take very good care of himself and his family. But as his life began to change, as Christ became a greater part of his life, there were real treasures that began to appear. His relationship with his wife was restored. His relationship with his children was restored. He found joy in giving. And today, even though he's a millionaire, he lives in a 1,600 square foot house. Spends his time serving the Lord with the gifts and the talents that he still has. No, he probably doesn't have the millions upon millions upon millions he could have had. But what he has is enough to care for him in this world, and enough to bring him peace and joy. And you know, that's what God promises to us. He promises that when our days here are ended, an eternal life awaits for us, paid for already in the blood of his Son, Jesus. The past we often drag around with ourselves, he promises to lift off our shoulders through the forgiveness of our sins. He gives us, he says, what we need to accomplish his work in our life every day. And says, if you focus on that, you'll see that you have enough. Or as Jesus tells us in the Gospel of Matthew, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be yours as well. How do we manage what God has given us? We manage it in such a way as to maximize how we can serve others in this life. And if we do that, we'll find that God not only gives us enough, but will bless us abundantly to serve him even more. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.